In the shadowy corners of international politics, a powerful alliance has formed without fanfare or formal treaties. Unlike the Cold War's ideological battle between democracy and communism, today's autocratic network operates through sophisticated financial webs, shared surveillance technologies, and coordinated propaganda. This isn't about shared ideology. China's Communist Party has little in common with Russia's nationalist kleptocracy or Iran's theocracy. What unites them is a common enemy, Western democracy, and shared methods of control. As Russia's invasion of Ukraine represents the first full-scale battle between this autocratic network and democratic nations, understanding how dictators collaborate has never been more urgent. This isn't just another geopolitical shift. It's an existential threat to democracy worldwide. What makes this network so dangerous is its adaptability. These regimes have learned to mimic democratic appearances while hollowing out institutions from within. They've mastered using Western financial systems, media platforms, and legal structures against the democracies that created them. And most concerning, they're winning converts among populations increasingly disillusioned with democratic governance. Modern autocracies are built on corruption rather than ideology. This shift began with a Western miscalculation, the belief that economic engagement would naturally transform dictatorships into democracies. When West Germany and the Soviet Union finalized their first major gas pipeline deal in 1970, German leaders believed economic ties would make conflict unthinkable, a theory called Wandel durch Handel, change through trade. After the Soviet collapse, Western leaders became convinced globalization would inevitably spread democracy, removing moral concerns about investing in authoritarian states. Few considered that corruption might flow back to democratic nations. Vladimir Putin's Russia exemplifies this reversal. His kleptocratic project began in the early 1990s, designing a capitalism favoring insiders who extracted wealth and hid it abroad. As St. Petersburg's deputy mayor, Putin orchestrated schemes to steal money through export licenses for raw materials supposedly meant for food purchases, with proceeds disappearing into associates' accounts. These operations relied on Western enablers, companies buying the exports, regulators ignoring suspicious transactions, and banks accepting mysterious cash flows. By the mid-2000s, Russia had become a full-blown autocratic kleptocracy, yet Western financial institutions continued enabling this system even as Putin eliminated political opposition. Venezuela exemplifies Russia's kleptocratic model spreading globally. Hugo Chavez took power in 1998, promising to eliminate corruption, yet fired his police chief, who presented evidence of government corruption just a year later. Like Putin, Chavez embraced kleptocracy to ensure officials' loyalty. During Chavez's 14-year rule, Venezuela received nearly $800 billion in oil revenues, with hundreds of billions disappearing into global banks. The regime established multiple currency exchange rates, enabling massive fraud, allowing connected individuals to claim millions for non-existent imports. When Venezuela's economy collapsed after Chavez's death, the global autocratic network stepped in. Russia provided subsidized grain and military equipment, China offered $30 billion in loans, Cuba sent military intelligence experts, Turkey exchanged gold for food, and Iran formed ties based on shared anti-Americanism. This pattern repeats worldwide. Bridging jurisdictions like the UAE and Turkey have emerged, states maintaining normal trade with democracies while laundering sanctioned wealth. This kleptocratic cash enables greater repression, as seen in Kyrgyzstan, where sanctions evasion trade with Russia coincided with crackdowns on journalists. As one exiled media founder noted, the Kyrgyz regime was emboldened by the huge influx of Russian money. While Western leaders celebrated the internet's democratizing potential in the early 2000s, China was building the world's most sophisticated information control system following the 1989 Tiananmen Square protests. American tech companies initially cooperated to access China's market. Microsoft filtered sensitive terms, Yahoo provided data that imprisoned dissidents, and Cisco sold equipment for censorship and surveillance. After absorbing their expertise, China replaced these foreign companies with alternatives like Baidu, WeChat, and Weibo. Surveillance expanded beyond cyberspace into a comprehensive control system, with Xinjiang authorities forcing Uyghurs to install nanny apps that scan phones for ideological viruses. This surveillance model has become an export product marketed as safe city technology. At least 18 countries have adopted Chinese systems, while democracies face similar threats from tools like Israeli-made Pegasus spyware tracking journalists and opposition figures. Yet, the 2022 COVID lockdown protests revealed surveillance's limitations when young protesters circumvented censorship using blank papers and coded language, demonstrating that even total surveillance cannot extinguish the human desire for freedom. Unlike 20th century communist propaganda promoting utopian visions, today's autocracies foster cynicism and passivity by teaching that our state may be corrupt, but everyone else is corrupt too. China promotes nationalist pride while portraying democracies as chaotic. Russian media bombard citizens with stories of Western degeneracy and hypocrisy. Putin references American culture wars to demonstrate democracy's alleged failings while positioning Russia as defender of traditional values. Autocrats worldwide exploit culture wars to distract from corruption. Uganda's Museveni passed harsh anti-gay legislation while accusing democracies of social imperialism. Hungary's Orbán shields Russian and Chinese ties behind religious and gender controversies. Modern autocrats deploy a fire hose of falsehoods, presenting multiple contradictory explanations that produce not outrage, but nihilism. If nothing can be known with certainty, why engage politically? Russia and China lead sophisticated international influence campaigns, with China investing billions in outlets like Xinhua and CGTN. Star Times, a Chinese-linked satellite company with 13 million subscribers across 30 African countries, prioritizes Chinese content while making Western media more expensive. Autocracies also coordinate media operations, with Venezuela's Telesur running Chinese state content alongside regional messaging. While dictators meet in opulent palaces, democracy activists gather in modest settings, like a hotel outside Vilnius. At the 2022 World Liberty Congress, fighters from various countries recognize their shared struggles against regimes using identical tactics. Leaders like Venezuelan opposition figure Lopez, chess champion Kasparov, and Iranian activist Alinejad realized democracy advocates needed to unite just as autocrats do. Fighting back requires dismantling the system that shields oligarchs' wealth through properties and shell companies. This demands transparency in real estate transactions, registration of actual company owners, banning financial secrecy jurisdictions, and creating cross-border enforcement teams. The resistance faces significant hurdles: money laundering's complexity, government reluctance to prosecute the powerful, and civil servants fearing repercussions. We need an international coalition of treasury officials, community leaders from cities distorted by foreign wealth, and activists with firsthand kleptocracy experience. Modern autocrats control information through disinformation and divisive algorithms. Countermeasures include pre-bunking, exposing planned Russian campaigns before launch. However, social media platforms remain vulnerable, with reform facing resistance from tech companies and politicians benefiting from the status quo. The European experiment in autocratic-democratic interdependence collapsed with the 2022 Nord Stream pipeline explosions. Democratic leaders mistakenly believed investments would integrate Russia with Europe, failing to recognize Russian companies as Kremlin agents. Citizens of democracies must recognize their connections to each other and to those sharing their values inside autocracies. Liberal societies, though imperfect, offer better lives than dictatorships and deserve defense. Historically rare, they face both external and internal threats. The question isn't whether democracy will survive, but whether we have the courage to fight for it.